All right, praise the Lord. That song kind of goes with partially what I was thinking about this morning. Something that we can trust in to look forward to is a hope. Anyway. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, Father, for the hope that you give us, Lord. And we just trust in you for that, Father. And we just ask your blessing, Father, upon this time together. Lord, be with those that are sick and in need this morning. Help us, Father, to be what we need to be for them, Father. And again, we thank you for all that you do. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Lord, that we might possess that hope, Father, that springs eternal, Father, that's rooted in true faith in you, Lord. Help us be what you want us to be, Father. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 is where I want to begin. Kind of the thought I have this morning, just to give you, I want to talk about the difference between hope and expectation. They are completely different. You know, they kind of share the similarities. They run along parallel in a lot of ways. But there is a great difference between hope and expectation. Verse 11, chapter 2, says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men." We talk a lot about grace. Grace is one of those words that's been completely hijacked. We've got a list of words that have been hijacked today to mean something entirely different than what they actually mean. If you ask a modern scholar today what grace is, they will tell you it's the unexpected or unmerited favor. It's unmerited favor, something we don't deserve. And if you just think about that just for a minute, unmerited favor is what mercy is. So they completely overlook what grace actually means by giving it the same definition as mercy. Of course, we do not deserve grace, but that is not what explains grace. That's not the definition of grace. Mercy is what we do not deserve. Unmerited favor. We don't deserve that. Something we didn't deserve, so we're given it. And mercy gives us grace. Grace is something that's almost unexplainable. You know, we think of someone that's graceful. You know, they're someone talks bad to them and they gracefully explain or gracefully receive it. They just, it doesn't fluster them. But it's almost the appearance of that is someone with grace is almost an unreasonable response to someone that's being unreasonable to them. Not on the exploding right back at them, but raising above, being risen above what is normal. And that's a small glimpse of grace. Grace is the amazing power or ability that helps us live above this world. And it's nothing we deserve, so in that sense it is explained that way. But it is the power that gives us the ability to actually do what Paul had the, you know, he prayed for a thorn in his side to be delivered. And instead of just removing that thorn, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, I'm going to let you live above this pain or this thorn in your flesh. I'm going to let you live above that. And that's what grace is. That's another idea or a little glimpse of grace, is just being able to live an amazing life without getting all tangled up. You know, when we look at the gospel, it teaches us, you know, not only forgiveness and mercy, but it's going above and beyond. You know, instead of getting angry and fighting, we rise above that. It's not shackles that bring us and keep us in a human level, in a fallen nature level. But it's that grace that gives us that power. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. That grace was full display in the life of Christ. You know, we talk about Christ and people, most people will say, well, there's only one perfect man that ever lived. That perfect man was a picture of someone that we need that grace to live that life. He was that grace that actually when he lived on this world, that's who he was. He was the perfect man. You know, whenever we think of perfect or being that perfect man or perfect woman or perfect person that God created, we think of something that's just completely unobtainable. But the foundation of being the perfect man is within each one of us. It's that fallen nature that keeps us from that. But it's that grace that gives us the power to live that life. Just to be. Whenever we think of a saint, it's not someone with a glowing halo around them and that's just living a life that's just absolutely perfect and they've never failed. It is being a man. It's not someone up in the clouds. It's being a man that God created, because that is what he created. A man and a woman. It's nothing more than that. That's why we've said before in times past that, and I think this is where people lose Christianity, is they think Christians are something way out there. But a Christian is nothing more than a good man. A godly man. Walking with Christ. Living that godly, good life. That's available because of grace. You can't be a Christian unless you're that good person that God created. And that's the very foundation. Not that you just try to be a good person, but having that heart and that desire that's focused on God, centered on Him and His will, and He giving you that ability to be that good man. Nothing, not because you earned it, because we do not deserve or merit His favor. We don't deserve His mercy, but because it's available. It's given to us. It's within the reach of every one of us. If we will just get outside of ourselves, reach out there and get a hold of it. But we want our life. We want our things. We want what everybody else thinks about us. We want all these other things. And we never just let go of those and reach out for that which is high above all of those things, which gives us the hope of something much higher The grace of God has appeared. King James says to every man, bringing salvation to all men. Instructing us, this is what the grace of God is trying to teach us. It's much more than just mercy doesn't instruct us in those things. The grace of God, God's Spirit brooding on this world, is trying to get our attention by denying ungodliness and worldly lust, worldly desires, and to live sensibly and righteously and godly in this present age. What is God's message trying to get a hold of man? What is the grace of God, the power of God in this world? What's he trying to teach men? It's right here summed up in these verses, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly and righteously and godly in this present world. He's wanting you and I to be men who are in control of ourselves, women in control of ourselves, not caught up in everything else the world is doing. And when I say that, you know, a lot of people say, well, the world wears a certain kind of clothes, or the world wears a certain, drives a certain thing or whatever. And there is something to that, or some a little bit to that. But we can separate ourselves from all of the modern trends of the world and still be just as worldly as the most biggest fashion model there is. Because it's not just that outward thing. You know, the world is looking for control and power over people. The world is looking for all these ambitions. They're full of envy. They're full of all of these things. And you can put that in a religious costume and it fits so nicely. But it's the world. Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly and righteously and godly in this present age. Is that really that hard? You know, we think heaven is so hard and so unobtainable, but if you just listen to what God is trying to show us, is it really that difficult? The only reason it is because I make it that way and you make it that way. He's denying all these things to live sensibly and righteously. Just doing what's right. Sensibly. Not trying to put great big demands on ourselves or great expectations upon ourselves that we can't obtain to. But we can live sensibly. We can live doing what's right and godly in this present age, just reflecting what God has given us. He's shown us mercy. He's shown us forgiveness. He's shown us godliness. That's what it is. It's just being the reflection of God in this earth. It's that simple. That's what godliness is. It's not just keeping yourself in a little hole somewhere, just all strict and not being able to move and all just expecting never to make a mistake so you don't ever do anything. The best way never to fail is to never to do anything. But that's not what God is looking for. He's looking for people who are ready to live this life, to have the courage to step out there and live life. And when you fall down, you get back up. That's appreciated the thought this morning that one of the differences between the ungodly and the godly is when the ungodly fall down, they just keep on falling. They reach for another depth. And so their grasp is going downward instead of upward. But a righteous man falls and he lifts his hand up. I need a hand up. And he's ready to get right back up and go some more. Then, looking for that blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. That's when we have the hope. When our heart and soul is to live this life that He's wanted us to be the man that He wants us to be right now. You know, I love reading history and going back and seeing the people who fought and died and the saints that went through things and how they persevered and just, and you know what most of them were? They were just a good man in their time, being just and honest and faithful. And a lot of times their persecutors hated what they were doing to them because they knew they were good men. They just didn't kind of line up with what. But when you look at those men and you think, oh boy, I want to be like that. You be like that by being what they were in good times and bad. We prepare for being able to go through those things, those, and being a martyr. You know, we see these people and they were tortured, some of them, for their faith. And they were martyrs and they were faithful. You know what? They learned that whenever they were being what they were supposed to be in the good times. And then they had strength to go through the bad. Looking for that hope. You know, we have that hope. And our hope is confirmed because of who our hope is in. Our hope is in the Lord. And our trust is in Him. And so we have that hope. And the difference between that hope and expectation. Let me see here. Luke chapter 6. Verse 34. Luke chapter 6, verse 34. We're going to see the word here, expect. If you lend to those whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and evil man. I'm going to start right there at the end there. For He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and evil man. You know, we want to justify ourselves. Well, they're not grateful. They're not very thankful. So we condition a lot of things that we share with others. But God Himself, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and evil man. Then it says, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. There's godliness, that reflection. Because that's who He is. That's who we need to be. We think holiness and godliness is some guy on a mountain somewhere blaring out the word of God, condemning the whole world. And he sits on a mountain. But godliness is being merciful, patient, kind, good to people who aren't. You know, it's easy for us to be that way when someone's nice to us. Oh, boy, they're just a pleasant to be nice to. It's just pleasant, isn't it? Easy. But then someone that isn't, our dander's up, our self-righteousness is up, our holiness is up, and our defense is up, and we're going to protect ourselves. But that's not what God does. Expectations. What we expect of others. See, there's a difference between hope. Here, this man that was, we lend expecting to receive the money back again. We do things expecting someone else to do us good. We be kind to someone expecting. That is all selfish. That is all ungodly and ungodlike. But that's basically, you know, that's the way we live our lives a lot of time. Expecting. If you are expecting someone else to do something, you're going to be disappointed. You see, that's God is not expecting. He knows what we are. But He has a hope that what He gives will be reflected back to Him. See, we expect things, and then people fail us. And so we have a right to be upset with them. Expectations. I just thought about this, you know, during the week. I've just been just an example. The best way, the quickest way to ruin a marriage is to expect something out of your partner. To expect your partner to make you happy. That's probably one of the biggest root causes of marriage failure, is when you're expecting too much from someone else. The divorce rates in first-time marriages is around 50%, and it even gets worse the further they go on. And a big part of that is because someone failed them. No forgiveness, no mercy. And the big thing of that is they're expecting someone to make me happy. If you're relying on someone else to make you happy, let me tell you something, you'll never be happy. You'll be a miserable human being the rest of your life. If you're expecting your friends to make you happy, you'll be a miserable human being. You know, we live in a setting like this where people are actually trying, and for the most part, we can kind of live without too much opposition like that, because people are being what they're supposed to be or trying to. But just let them fail and boom, there goes the hammer. See the difference between expectation and a hope. We train our children with hopes that they'll be what we want them to be. But when we begin to expect them to, they'll fail us. And then it just devastates us. We're training them with a hope that they'll be what they're supposed to be. But my happiness and my contentment and my godliness isn't relying on someone else doing that expectation. It's us doing what we're supposed to be with the hope that they will. We've got to let them make those decisions on their own. The difference between expectation and hope. You know, we talk to people that are young people that are hoping to get married, and my counsel is to people is you be the best husband or wife material that you can be. And hopefully that will attract the person that's trying to be the best on the other end. But being the best that you can be often leads to a pride and arrogance and an expectation that someone else ought to be just what you need them to be. Being what you're supposed to be is not dependent on someone else failing or succeeding. That's putting expectations on other people, trying to make yourself happy or a better person. It relies between you and God. And the less you expect of other people, a lot of times that it correlates between what you really think of yourself. We don't expect much of ourselves when we're humbled. But then often that's when we are exceeding and doing the best, because we're humbly just striving to be that person. But once we get to that place where, well, I've kind of got it, and now everybody else is not measuring up, we're expecting all of that out of them. And we'll be failed. We'll be disappointed. We teach people and train people with the hope that they'll get a hold of this to be that person that God wants them to be. But we can't expect it. We can't demand it. See, once it comes over into that expectation and demand, then the free will's not out of it. We have to begin to force them to. We have to put pressure on them to measure up. And so then people begin to live for that expectation instead of getting a hold of that hope for themselves. To actually be the man, the woman that God created you to be. We hope for the best in others, but we don't expect it like a demand. We want it, but we don't let it affect us. Sometimes, you know, we wind up having to do things that others have let us down, maybe. And it's easy for us to get devastated by that. You know, we want others and kind of hope that they will step up and be what they're supposed to be, but then they fail us. And we kind of want to have a little pity party, or we want to lash out, or we want to... But that is where you have the opportunity to be godlike. Whenever someone fails you, instead of plunging in like all the rest of humanity does, and feeling sorry for ourselves and pouting and being mad or upset and lashing out, we can grab a hold of the grace of God and do just like what he was talking about, and be just like him and be merciful Be forgiving. Be kind. That's where that grace comes in. That's what lifts us up above the rest of the world. And that's where what the grace of God is here to do. That's what Christ came here to do, to lift us up above the world instead of just being plunged into it every time. If you have that hope, even though you fail, you get right back up. The next, you know, Floyd talked about another thing, you know, that thing that's always out there in front of us, that's bothering us, that we struggle with and we fight with, and we just want it out of our lives. We just want to, it's just that thing that's just right there. And we get it out of our lives and be careful for removing the step that's in front of you. Be careful for wishing that would just go away, because the next step's liable to be twice as high. And if we didn't learn to take the step that's in front of us, it's going to be a higher jump. When you remove one step, you know, you got a stairway and they're all step high. You take a couple of those steps out, and what do you got? You got a double step that you got to reach next time. Just makes it that hard. The things that God puts in front of our lives, the struggles, the fight, the battle that we have, all he's waiting to do is for us to take the step that builds the strength to get up on that next step. And there will be another step. There is no sublime, perfect thing where all is level and all I have to do is coast. The only coasting that's done in this life goes downhill. Going up is a step after step after step after step. We need to remember that. Training our children. We want to make it easy for them. We want to give them good, easy lives. But if they're going to be healthy human beings, godly human beings, life is going to be a struggle, and they need to have some struggles when they're little to learn how to get through them, to cope with them. We have all these young people today, they're spoiled, rotten brats, and they're triggered at every little thing, and they just melt down. It's because they've had everything handed right to them. The parents didn't have enough foresight to say, they need a little bit of struggle in their lives. Get some strength so that they can face life. Need some opposition so that they can learn to overcome it, instead of having the way just smoothly paved out for them. Struggle is the thing that makes people strong. Expectation or hope. We hope in God and we hope in man. But when we begin to expect, it's because we think it's owed us. Another way to put it, we think too highly of ourselves. And so we expect everybody to behave around us. We have a high opinion of ourselves when we expect something from someone else. When we see ourselves as we really are, we can't expect anything of anyone else. A man, I can't remember who it was, D.L. Moody maybe or something, that they were going down the street and there was a drunk man just stumbling around. And the one guy might have shied away or just thought, oh boy, I'm glad I'm not like him. You know, we look at people and we look at people that way. But this man said, but for the grace of God, there go I. You know, any miserable situation you see in this world could be you. And I've said it before, you know, what great thing did you do that you didn't grow up being a Muslim, being taught to go kill people, and that's how you please God? What did you do? What did you do that you weren't born in Africa or somewhere taught to worship idols and offer sacrifices? What did you do to deserve to be born where you are? To deserve to hear all of this and to have a choice? When you look at people, I don't care who it is, even here, someone we might despise, what made you not be them? But for the grace of God, there go I. Reflect the grace of God by being like Him. If anybody has a right to just discard us or really tell us off or really fix everything for us, He did. But He gave us mercy so we could be like Him. Not pat ourselves on the back and say, I'm holy and you're not. May God add His blessing. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Anything else?
Yeah, I appreciate you and what we shared this morning, particularly the thought of what the difficulties are, the stepping stones, difficulties are good for us. It's just strength and grace.
Amen. It's supposed to start freezing after a while. I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I said it, because we got Maine, and I was going to ask if we need to make a great big.
Okay. It's things supposed to start freezing at 3. It depends on whether it rains or not then, whether it be slick or not, but. Got any thoughts or
see what happens?
Okay. Well, if it let's plan on it, but don't start anything till the last moment if it starts looking. We can have sandwiches or something, or you know, maybe we can fix something a little different, or just.
We'll freeze it all for next week.
Okay. Yeah, maybe that'll work.
I'll just stick it outside. It'll
But let's plan on just being here. And then if it does get raining, we may cancel later. But really, if it keeps raining and icy. But. All right. Well, God bless you all. We plan on seeing you all at 6 o'clock. See, Lord bless you. Peace.